Okay, councilors, please take your seats. And those conversing, if you're going to continue to converse, please do it outside this room. Appreciate your cooperation. Please start the recording. Okay, welcome back, everyone. We have a fairly just really one agenda item in this session right here, and this was originally intended to be over lunch. Most of us have had lunch. I certainly took advantage of it being early, so that because I knew I would have to lead this discussion. So there is some food back here if you haven't had lunch. So help yourself. In the meantime, what we need to do is to make sure we're organized for the joint GAC GNSO meeting that is at 5 o'clock in a different room than this one this afternoon, and. We have just three agenda items on there to discuss with the GAC. Excuse me, too many acronyms running through my mouth. The first one is just briefly to bring up the issue of a GAC liaison. I don't think we'll spend too much time on this. I'm not sure that the GAC really wants to have a GAC liaison. But what I thought I would do is raise the issue. We haven't had one for a while, and basically just ask Giannis and then anyone else in the GAC who is there whether they think there is any way that this could be a useful thing to do going forward, and if so, what would that look like? We all, I think, on the council understand that GAC representatives are very sensitive about the fact that they cannot, in most cases, even represent their own governments, let alone the GAC. And so they find that very awkward to participate even in working groups. At the same time, we need that flow of communication between the GAC and the GNSO, and we need their involvement in some capacity. So I don't plan to spend a lot of time on this, but would like to raise the issue maybe just to generate thought, and I'll open it now up to discussion on your part. Alan.
Just a very brief comment to note, and I don't think it's a surprise, I very rarely hear speak on behalf of that larger ALAC. There are occasions when we have taken a formal position and I say so. Most of the time I either explicitly make it clear or it's I hope it's obvious that I'm speaking with some interest in user issues and perhaps having some discussions, but I'm not necessarily speaking on behalf of. And I think the fact that that's allowed and the norm is something we should bring up.
And I would ask you to please bring that up when we have this discussion, Okay. Now, I know that sometimes it's a little bit awkward in the GAC sessions because most of us can't even get to the table in the front. But if you can, good. In your particular case, since you're going to make a comment there, it'd be really great if you can find a spot. But don't not make the comment, even if you're unable to do that. Anyone else?
I understand the point, and I understand Alan's point. But it's my understanding from talking with GAC reps from several countries that the issue is not so much that about the problem really is that any participation that they have within the ICANN is at as their official government representative. So to the extent that we say to them, that's fine, we'd love for you to be in our working group, participate in a working group, you can do so in your personal capacity, that may be okay with us, but that's not necessarily okay with their government. And if that's the case, I think we just simply need to recognize that that's that and perhaps come up with other mechanisms to get their input more regularly.
And that could very well be the outcome of this discussion. Thank you. Okay, we don't need to spend any more time on that. The next topic is the Draft Applicant Guidebook, Version 4, DAG 4, including morality and public order. Now, I don't have to tell anyone here that to have a top, we have 1 hour with the GAC, and we'll have well over 100 people in the room. And so to talk about DAG 4, that's awfully broad. But I'd like us to have some sense of what direction we might like to guide this if it doesn't come from the GAC directly. This was a topic that Giannis suggested as a topic, and so what I can do if you think this is a good idea is put it into his court and initially and say this was a topic that Giannis suggested. Is there an area of the DAG that you would like to discuss and see what we get back? And if particularly they want to talk about morality and public order, then you know that's what we'll talk about. What thoughts do you have on this particular topic?
Andre? Yeah. We all in different nations, in different countries, in different cultures understand it differently. Morale and public order. I know, just by case, I know that there's one agreement among all nations about good and bad. It's about the bad, about the child porn. Like all nations and all countries agree that this is bad. Among all other issues, there is no agreement. So what are we going to chat about? Because it's not... I have no idea.
Yeah, and again, if I was putting forward topics here, I wouldn't have put that one on here for that very reason. But since Giannis is the one that suggested that, I want to honor that request. Bill.
Have they given any indication of any particular dimension of MAPO? I mean, are they concerned about international legal status, or what are they looking for?
No. The simple answer is no, but that would be a very good question for us to ask if there's a particular dimension of that, and maybe I can lead into that when I bring this up with Giannis in the public meeting.
Just to follow up on Bill's point, there are several aspects of DAG, well, what do we call it now, AGB?
Yes.
That concerns all of our constituencies and stakeholder groups. One of them is the morality and public order section, which particularly concerns some of the MCSG constituents. So perhaps as an assistance to starting a dialogue, to the extent that Giannis or anybody in the GAC can describe to us what their position is. So not just what specific aspects, but is the GAC taking a position? Have they taken a position? Do they plan to take a position on that section or something else would be helpful to us as we go back to our stakeholder groups.
Yeah. my first reaction is whenever you ask the GAC to take a position, if they haven't put it in writing, we know the answer already. So I'm a little bit leery in wording it that way, but I wonder if you have some ideas about how we could approach that maybe without referring to a GAC position. Any thoughts in that regard?
Chuck?
Christina?
I mean, one way to do it, although you could really just open up the Pandora's box and not talk about anything else, is to ask if there are particular GAC representatives that have identified their position on it on a government by government basis. Obviously, we certainly don't have time to talk to everybody, but my guess is that there are already a handful of GAC representatives who are in fact in a position to say, you know, our government's position on this is X, even if that's not the GAC position. And that may be helpful for us to know.
All this is helpful to me. Any other thoughts on this? Edmund?
I kind of agree with Christina, but I wanted to bring up another. Could we bring up other items in the DAG for as well? That we talked about the morality. I wonder if people are comfortable talking about the geographical names, or is that a topic that should be broached?
First of all, I think the answer to your first question is yes. I mean, we can if there are some areas where we would like feedback from GAC members on within the applicant guidebook version 4. Then I've got to train myself to quit saying DAG. You probably have to kick me a few times. But I think that would be perfectly legitimate for us to ask what, if there's some position, like, for example, if you'd like to hear something about various government positions with regard to geographic names. That's, I think, a legitimate question for us to ask. And I'm hoping that all of us, or most of us, will be able to be up close where we can get to a mic, and then it won't just be me as GNSO chair next to Giannis leading the discussion, and hopefully you can participate too. It's the logistics are often difficult in this particular meeting, but let's do the best we can in that regard. Christina?
Just following up on Edmund's point, I think it's a safe bet that someone from the GAC will bring up geographic names even if we don't ask them based on past experience. So to the extent that we have a specific question or questions, it might be more helpful in terms of getting information or feedback from them that will help us to kind of be a little bit more precise about it.
Edmund, you have more?
So, Christina, you mean of all the things that are within the geographic names, whether I have something in mind to bring up, or you mean more specific, as in any particular part that I want to specifically ask them about? Is that the question?
I would say the more specific, the better. I mean, if you do have a specific question, or you know, the council as a whole thinks that there are still questions outstanding, or we have issues or objections with any of the geographic names provisions in the new version of the guidebook, then ask about them. But I'm just concerned that if you, they're going to talk about it anyway. So if we can shape what it is that they talk about, that's going to be more helpful to us, I think.
Just very quickly, and then, I read Chuck's note. I think that's a pretty clear. I could kind of agree with Chuck in a lot of that note. The other part that I specifically want to bring up is, in fact, I brought up previously with the GAC as well, is the item on the regional names. There is a specific section on in it in the applicant guidebook, and there has been some changes to it, which is kind of interesting. There was the requirement of obtaining consent from 69% of the region to an adjustment to 60% of the region. I was wondering if there were any indications from GAC that changed that, or any members might have indicated anything or want to add to that part.
And again, assuming you can get to a mic, I hope that some of you will actually raise these issues yourself rather than me having to do it. I think it's more effective, and I think it gives better overall council exposure if we can do it that way. Jamie.
There is one concern about geographic regions is that it's not in the DAG, but it's the extent it will protect in the second level. The process of protection of geographic names or regional names at the second level.
And are you suggesting that we might want to raise that? And if so, I have a concern there.
I think they will.
Yeah, and they may very well. Okay, one response, of course, is to refer back to our policy development process, and in particular, a subset of that, the Reserve Names Working Group, and we did talk about that extensively in that group. So, and made the ultimate recommendation not to protect geographic names at the second level. Now, that's not a position that the GAC supports. We know that. But so if they bring it up, I think we'll react accordingly in terms of that. But you're right. They may very well bring that up. Is there any question? Thanks. I'll get you in just a second. With regard to, for example, city names, in particular capital city names, and this may be more of an applicant guidebook question than it is a question for the GAC, but is national government approval needed for a country's capital city name? For example, dot Paris, do they need the approval of just the city of Paris or the national government or both? That's something probably that needs more clarity in the applicant guidebook, but we'll see what that is. Rosemary.
I wanted to go back to the morality and public
go
order
ahead.
Issue. So if there was...
You want to talk about cities?
Yeah, I wanted to respond to
you. Go ahead.
No, you go.
If it's on cities, go ahead, Adrian.
Yeah. First of all, to the specific question you're asking, I think that's actually quite clear in the DAG as it stands. So I'm not sure we want to make that point. Whatever questions we ask about things like what you're suggesting, city names or whatever, we will have to then expect the discussion to move on to categories, because that is one thing that the GAC is extremely adamant about, and they're pushing for that. So we may want to prepare for that. I don't think that the categories idea is something that the council or the GNSO has favoured in the past, but it's certainly something that we will be called upon to discuss if we go into that sort of territory.
So, and the clarity you mentioned with regard to city capital city names is that national government approval is needed.
The local authority that governs the capital city needs to authorize it, and the national government.
Both.
That's my understanding.
Both. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Same topic?
Yeah.
Okay. Andre?
Unfortunately, it's not so easy, because every time when you talk about the capital cities, you have to consider the particular country. It depends on internal political construction within the country. For example, we have a bunch of federal cities which are under the control of the federal government, and we have the rest is like what we call the municipal municipal cities, which is pretty self-running, and they're out of scope of the federal government. And so, and I believe that other countries have different kind of configurations in terms of this vertical, you know, the self-regulated, whatever it is. So I would maybe limit it just to the local authorities without specific, you know, mentioning something.
Sometimes it depends on the federation agreement or the kind of federation, and we should not rule that. This is kind of it's something that they can't rule. They even can't rule. Some are the United States, other are some disunited states. So,
and just a quick note, in some countries it's a mess.
Me. Let's go on to Rosemary. Go ahead.
I was just going to go back in the attempt to provide, to try and figure out what they thought they wanted to talk about. So I went back to the communique, their communique from Nairobi, which indicates that they've got questions about the appropriateness of the phrase morality and public order, and they're unclear how the proposed mechanism would work in practice. They believe it should not be listed on the closed items list with respect to the new GDT process, and requests a more detailed briefing from the ICANN staff on the anticipated practical implementation of the approach. And I was wondering if that briefing had taken place, and we ought to get a little background on that before we go into the meeting. But mainly, Chuck, to say that, you know, perhaps that gives us some indication of what they want to talk about on that particular issue.
And again, I encourage you, as the opportunity presents us, to raise that directly yourself in that session.
My question was whether there are any ICANN staff here that could give us an indication on what the briefing.
Well, and it's okay to ask them if they did receive that briefing, and if so, you know, what insight, because that would be good information for us.
I think Rosemary is asking somebody of the staff that is here now has some information on that. Nobody. Yeah. Okay. I would like to emphasize that is what Stefan just raised, that during Nairobi event, the guy from France, what's his name is Bertrand de la Chapelle. He was very emphatic about the categories, and personally, I found it a good way of approaching, and I didn't see any discussion between among us on this, and I think he will bring up again this issue, and we didn't prepare to that, and I wonder if we should have some discussion here only to make a leveling of everybody here with these, and I think Stefan could be the presenter of the.
I think Tim wants to respond to that, but I want to come back to Stefan's point too. Do we know whether the GAC has a position regarding categories, or is it Bertrand and a few others? Yeah, you can go ahead and respond to that.
So, this is a bit of background that I can give you on this. Bertrand has circulated a document that explains his idea of categories, and he's refined that document since Nairobi. In Nairobi, he organized an informal meeting between people, between various stakeholder groups, to discuss that. So I think he's pushed that idea quite far, to be honest, and I think he's well prepared to discuss the finer details of it. And from what I understand, the GAC agrees. I don't know if it's an official GAC position, but my understanding is that the GAC think categories is an excellent way of getting to closure on the new GTLD program, because it will allow certain types of TLDs that present less problem to go first and serve as a kind of test run for those that for the main event, as it were. So my understanding is that the GACA is very much in favor of this, but I don't know if it's an official position.
Thank you. Tim? Okay. Now, for those that haven't been on the council very long or maybe even active in the GNSO very long, it's important that you recognize that in the new GTLD process, the idea of categories was discussed fairly early on in that process, and we dismissed it. I see some heads nodding, and so it's important that we all understand this isn't a new idea in the GNSO. Now, did we get everything right? There probably everyone here in the room would say no, we didn't. So, but it's not a new idea. Now, just from a practical point of view, and I don't know that I would say this in that meeting. I might if it seemed like the right opportunity. But I think we could pretty much expect that if we switch to a category approach now, it would cause additional delays.
Chuck, in the history, some old ideas revisited proved to be good. And so the fact to dismiss once is not okay. So I think we should yet hear and see if it is the same thing, then we can discard it. But if it brings a new approach, well, we should be open to ideas. Either they are not new or not so new, but to understand, and if they resolve, they make things easier, I think it's okay.
Yeah, and agree with that. In fact, we have a history of that too, don't we? With rights protection, we revisited it, didn't we? So point well taken. Yeah. Bill?
My first reaction when Bertrand talked me through this was... it's very French, but now you know, having heard indeed some others from GAC talk about it too, and seeing the interest here, maybe I shouldn't be dismissing it as quickly as I have. And I'm wondering if people who were on the council when you had this discussion, aside from the notion that it would kind of slow things down, could you try just give me a quick synopsis of what your core objections were to the concept, because I'm operating on the basis of kind of general instinct rather than a familiarity with the detailed discussion that happened.
I saw Wendy's hand raised and Zahid and Stefan too down here. Okay, let's go over here to Wendy. You want to comment first on that?
Well, I wanted to raise one step back, a comment that, you know, I was not sitting on the council at the time, but followed a lot of the debate and discussion, and I think the recommendations were voted and adopted as a package, and trying to pull out pieces and re-argue them would lead to demands to re-argue other pieces, which would then cause the whole thing to balloon. With regard to categories specifically, I seem to recall arguments against the specifying purposes and discriminating among purposes for which domains might be used, and that uniformity was preferable to trying to put people into pigeonholes and treat some pigeons better than others.
Thank you. Zahid.
Thank you. On the point of categories, it's interesting, if we read the economic framework for analysis, the one that's just been sent out, at paragraph 117, it says, it may be wise to continue ICANN's practice of introducing new GTLDs in discrete limited rounds. And it goes further to say that there may be some benefit to this, sort of hinting towards categories. For instance, it says that if you didn't do that, you could create costs such as consumer confusion and trademark protection issues. An idea might be to say, all right, so we have a round, we ration different segments in it, maybe 25 new GTLD slots. Different categories could be new generic words like .music, .web, .fashion.
IDN GTLD, etc., community-based GTLDs, single registrant, .brand GTLDs, and geographic names as sort of four or five slots, and we ration them as we go along. So I just wanted to make that point and also mention that the economic study actually sort of supports the idea of actually having limited rounds. Thank you.
Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. I think before we get into a whole discussion about categories, I think we need to determine the two main discussion points that are here. The first is, do we want to talk about this with the GAC this afternoon? And if so, do we follow Jamie's idea that I talk about it, which I'm not in support of? But we can have a motion on that if you want. Once again, Jamie's comment about the fact that can we revisit old ideas? That's the core issue really here, is do we agree that categories will introduce more delays or not? And one of the arguments, just to let you know, that we may have to face if we say that is that by working, by doing what we're doing, what the GNSO has asked the VI working group to do, categories have already been introduced. I've heard that argument made because if we, in the VI work, there are exceptions for certain types of applicants, and that is deemed to mean that inherently you will have categorization. So we may also have to face that argument. What I'm saying is that here I'd rather prepare what we say to the GAC rather than go into the whole topic itself, which is probably, you know, more than one meeting's worth.
Tim.
Yeah, I think, too, that, you know, we might face the reality that the GAC isn't necessarily so opposed to the fact that something would delay new GTLDs. I don't think that their main concern is how quickly we can roll them out. I think their concern is that they get rolled out within certain parameters that they have concerns with. So I don't think delay is an issue in the mind of the GAC. But, you know, I think, though, that it is in the mind of certain constituencies and stakeholder groups within the GNSO. And I think, you know, we need to ask maybe ourselves as a group, how much policy development are we going to do on the fly in the middle of an implementation of a policy we've already established before we either say we're cutting bait and going, or we pull it back and say maybe this is just such a mess, it took too long, we need to rework the whole thing. Trying to piecemeal this as it's going through the implementation process to me just seems to be a dangerous way to do policy.
Christina?
I have a new topic, so I'll just leave it to you as to whether we want to...
Okay, let me just quickly respond, and there may actually even be people in the audience that can respond even better than I can, because we actually discussed the topic of categories fairly early in the new GTLD PDP, so now that's probably at least 3 years ago, so my memory's probably pretty foggy. But in response to Bill's question, a lot of it, I think, had to do with process and feasibility. Even some of the ideas that have been talked about here. Okay, who picks the categories? Is there any way of actually picking the right categories? If you do succeed at that, okay, which category goes first? These are highly political issues. It's very difficult. And then that could really limit one of the goals of new TLDs is innovation and so forth. So you start putting things in boxes. Keep in mind that we had a round of one category of TLDs called sponsored TLDs, and we moved away from that and so forth. So that's kind of, Bill, what I remember, that from a procedural point of view, it seemed very challenging to implement, but that's memory from 3+ years ago. Okay, let's go. Another thing on categories.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think Stefan resumed very well.
From our point of view, from the GNSO point of view, I understand that the only concern we have revisiting this issue is that if it will delay or facilitate the new GTLD introduction process. If there are ways that it can facilitate, and if the answer to the question you gave, who picks the categories, if the categories are already there, a suggestion that is already there makes sense to everybody, or if it is a discussion to be taken, then we could reject this up front. But if there is already something that makes sense, oh, to everybody, I don't know. Maybe I'm just naive and a newcomer.
No, your points are well taken, and I'm sure there are people that have categories that they define. Would there be support for those categories is another question. Stefan?
Let Mary go first.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. So I'm just trying to pick up on certain things that may be implicit or maybe it's not, and if not, I'd like it clarified, and what Jamie and I think that Tim alluded to. I mean, Chuck, it's even though this was before my time on the council, basically the decision was that we would not want to pursue categories, but what I seem to be sensing is that there may be constituencies or stakeholder groups who are asking their councillors to bring this issue forward again, and if that's the case, I think it would be fair to the rest of us to know that.
I'm not talking for my constituency. I'm here talking in a personal capacity, okay?
Then that's helpful to know. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to have there remain a few more comments, but we're going to have to be brief because we're running into the next meeting already. So, Stefan, just keep it to a minute if you can.
Well, less than a minute. I just want to say, joking aside, that if you do need me to, I do know quite a lot about this subject from Bertrand's point of view because I've discussed it with him a lot. So if you need me to talk about it, just let me know.
Thank you. And I think I saw, Steve. Steve Del Bianco, one of our observers here, is going to share something.
Yeah, Chuck, you brought up the notion of the difficulties associated with categories. And they're such that it would never be done if there were not some other reason driving it. And the reason that would drive it would have to be the rationing of slots from applicants. That might happen if we just have a wide open round and staff tells us they can only handle 500. If that were the truth and there were 1,000 applicants but 500 slots, some rationing has to happen. And that rationing might be first come, first serve, or it might well be you'd have several categories and make sure that a bunch from each category go into the first round. The way you discussed it earlier, you implied that you'd have to pick which categories go first, and I don't think that's the purpose of categories, to see who goes first. Categories are to make sure that some of each kind, a community, an IDNG, a sponsored, and so on, that each of them have some slots in this. So it was unlikely that a 500 limit, as staff talks about, was really going to be a significant limitation. But what if, as Zahid said, what if there is momentum towards a more limited first batch, if it were 25 or 50 or something on that order, you'd almost have to look at categories as a way to make sure that there's a few of each type of TLD to really test the space out. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And in the applicant guidebook, if you've looked at it, there actually is a proposed procedure in case the number of applications gets to be too high. And it's not necessarily a categorization type procedure, but that's one that's open for comment. We need to very quickly move to the last possible topic, and maybe we won't even get to this in the meeting with the GAC, and that is the affirmation of commitments, review teams, and so forth. Is it on the new topic? Okay. Go ahead.
We were discussing categories and stuff in the context of new GTLDs. There was one point I wanted to make on right protection mechanisms, if I can quickly make that.
Yeah,
there is a
briefly.
Very briefly, I'm just going to read out a line. In the draft agreement under Specification 7, with regard to trademark clearinghouse, what the agreement says is the registry operator shall not mandate that any owner of applicable intellectual property rights can use trademark information, aggregation, notification, or validation service in addition to or instead of the ICANN-designated trademark clearinghouse, which, and this was not recommended by the STI, it was not recommended by the IRT. In fact, the recommendations were that this should be the trademark clearinghouse of ICANN is a minimum, and you could build upon it, and a registry was open to add other right protection mechanisms. The language here in the draft agreement seems to suggest that you have to stick with the trademark clearinghouse and only take those services that offers at that time. You can add, you can deduct, or, you know. So it's not just a bare minimum. That's the standard, full stop. I think that's an important point because that may be different from the recommendations that have been given by the GNSO, and it may also have antitrust implications. I just wanted to sort of think about that and just wanted to make that.
So that's a very important point to submit in the public comment period and be real clear on. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, Christina. I'm looking this way most of the time. I'm discriminating on the people to my right. Go ahead.
I did actually have a question, kind of following while we're talking about the applicant guidebook, and the GAC did have very specific language in their comments on DAG3 that were attached as part of the Nairobi communique, and I guess the question that I would actually like to ask them is, do the proposed rights protection mechanisms in AGB4 satisfy those expectations?
And again, I encourage you to ask that question in that session as the opportunity exists.
Okay.
Very quickly, I'm kind of blank in my own mind with regard to the affirmation of commitment reviews in terms of what we would talk about with the GAC. Does anybody have any thoughts in that regard? It's obviously a live process. One of the review teams is working now. The other two, there's a call for applications out. Anybody have any thoughts with regard to what could be discussed in that regard? Marilyn, go ahead.
And I say this only partly in jest. It's my understanding that in part of the review that's happened so far, the GAC has been advised that up to this point, their communiques have not been viewed as advice to the board consistent with their mandate. And to that extent, how do they, if at all, anticipate changing how they communicate and interact and provide advice?
It's an interesting thing if they brought that up, because I would probably very quickly cite the geographic names issue and try to reconcile that opinion with what's happened with regard to geographical names. You follow me?
I guess my point is that it's my understanding that the GAC has been told that the communiques do not constitute advice within the confines of the structure, and that if that is the case, how does GAC plan to operate differently?
Okay. Marilyn, would you like to add something? And I'm going to wrap this up, so keep it brief.
I would. I'm first of all going to make a comment in regard to what Christina just said. Christina, that's my understanding as well. In case anybody's interested, they can read an exchange between me at the microphone in Sydney and with the chairman of the GAC, where I went to the microphone and asked the chairman of the GAC and the reports from the advisory committees whether the communiques of the GAC constitute formal advice, and the chair of the GAC said they did. So I think it's a good question to raise, but I think the other point I would just make is it's really important for the GNSO that if the communiques of the GAC do not constitute advice, then you're probably screwed, because you're not going to know what does constitute advice. So, you know, I think there's probably a real interest in the part of the GNSO broadly to have clarity on how governments give formal advice. But my point is, the point I was going to go on to is, you have a resolution before you as council addressing the process and procedures to approve the selection of the next two review teams. Within the business constituency, although we don't have a formal voted process, we have a sense of the membership that we feel very strongly that there should be at least one per SG representative in all review teams. That was the standard that you fought very hard for, and we all fought very hard for in the first review team. My conversation, I've read all the transcripts, my conversation with many members of the review team that exist today is they do not find the numbers unwieldy, and many of them do not feel they could get their job done if they did not have the breadth of participation.
Thank you, and I'm going to wrap it up at that because we are running into the Operation Steering Committee meeting that was supposed to start a few minutes ago in this room. That meeting is open to observers and so forth. Certainly the OSC team members should be seated at the table, and so we'll break for a few minutes and let that team come in here. Again, others are welcome to stay. It is an open meeting. Thank you. And thanks, everybody, for the contributions here.